Let's talk about recall training, because to be honest, it's one of the things that when I see clients, most people haven't got recall with their dog. It's a really low percentage, which to be honest is really sad, because if you think about it, this is your dog's freedom and the easiest way for your dog to get their exercise needs. But a lot of people don't even start it. A lot of people, they seem to think that the dog will come back just because they said come back, with very limited input or training. But teaching recall is like teaching anything else. The dog needs teaching. It does take longer than anything else, and I'll explain why, but it's really important, and you can't do it with just training. There's a myth that if you let your dog off when they're a really tiny puppy, that they all stay with you and they'll keep this going, whereas if you have them on a lead, they never learn that. It's a myth, because most little puppies are too scared to leave your side, and that's why they stay with you. But once they hit the adolescent months, then they start venturing off, which is really when most people struggle. It's kind of anywhere between 6 and 9 months, recall goes out the window. The dog's more confident, hormones are raging, and suddenly everything's more interesting. And because you haven't done the recall training, or even if you have and they're just having, you know, some moments, it starts to go out the window. So recall is something that when I get a new dog or puppy, I start teaching it from day one. Because day one, well, if they've had vaccinations, we're going out anyway. If they haven't, then we're doing this in the garden. But day one is the most important thing, really. And we start teaching it every day, not obsessively, not, you know, several times a day or anything like that. It's not like toilet training where you've got to be on it. But during the exercise period, which will usually be a walk, we're teaching recall. So what you need to do, you need to find a keyword. Whistles are good. I love whistles because they travel over a goat distance. So if you've got a spaniel or a hound that's probably going to be far away from you at some point, they travel a lot further than your voice. And whistles don't have emotions, which is really helpful, because if you're angry or scared, then you don't want the dog knowing this, because your voice changes and they are worried about what's going on. Why are you angry? Why are you scared? And that can interrupt your recall as well. So something like a whistle is great. It doesn't change. It's always the same. But whatever your keyword is, I use here, to be honest. Whatever it is, start using it in the house first. This is your number one thing. Especially if you've got a puppy that hasn't had their vaccinations yet, do not wait. There's no point. You've got a couple of weeks. You might as well start some indoor training and in the garden. Don't wait until the walk. Start doing it now. You can do it at meal time, so here, and there's the bowl. You can do it in between rooms, here, and there's a bit of chicken. Get your dog used to that word first for at least a week, and then go out. When we go out, number one thing, safety first, your dog doesn't go off the lead, right? It has to learn to come back, which might involve literally reeling your dog in if they've decided not to. So what you need is a harness for your dog and a long line. Harness is important because if your dog pelts off, you know, at however fast they can go, between 20 and 40 miles an hour, depending on your breed, and they stop because you've got the line, you don't want all that force going on their neck and it'll be like a whiplash effect. It's much better that it's kind of on the harness back ring and it's spread across everything. If you've got a breed that's particularly delicate, like delicate skin, something like a Chinese Crested, you know, they don't have much fur or padding, and greyhounds as well, they've got no fat on them. Just make sure your harness is padded, so extra padding, nice and comfy. And yeah, so you do this. You need a long line as well. I recommend 10 meters. They can go up to 30. 30 meters is very hard to manage. 10 meters is pretty good. If you've got a really tiny dog, you get away with 5, but 10 meters is pretty good for most dogs, just to get them used to kind of running around and being far enough away from you but still able to listen to your voice. Flexi, you could, if you really, really wanted to, and you're good with flexies, you could start with a flexi lead. But one, they only ever go up to 5 meters. And two, they're quite difficult to work. A long line will go slack. A flexi lead will never go slack. So the dog is never really learning to be by itself. They always feel that tension, and you don't want that on the line. You want the dog to feel like they're on their own, essentially. So this is what your equipment is. So you've walked to the park, or you've driven to the park, or whatever, you've got your lead, and now you swap it, you've got to, you know, your long line, clip to your harness, and let's go. Let the dog out, they can have some fun, blah, blah, blah. And then basically, every few minutes, you're calling your dog back. And if your dog doesn't listen, you just reel them in. It's literally that simple. You always reward. It doesn't matter if the dog didn't come back first time or is coming back slowly or anything like that. The first thing with recall is that you always reward every single time. The dog has to know that it's worth coming back. There's no point doing it half-heartedly or anything. It is a lot of food. And to be honest, I recommend using your dog's own food, as in their kind of daily allowance. You want the best of their food though. So if they get a mixture of kind of like biscuit and scraps, for instance, you want to save all the scraps for the recall. If your dog's really food motivated and they will just come back to biscuit, you can use that. But really you want high value stuff that the dog isn't getting anywhere else. This is just for this training. Because recall is potentially one of the hardest things, you want to always make sure you're giving what we call gold to the dog, not just, you know, random kibble that is half-heartedly eaten. You've got to find what your dog likes and make sure you stick with that. To be honest, we recommend that with everything. Whatever your training program you're doing that's the most important to you, that's where you should be using your gold stuff, which is chicken, cheese, hot dog, sausage and bacon. Always check for allergies and stuff, but really whatever the dog really likes. And smell, high smell is usually where you're gonna go right with everything. So this is what you do. And the most important thing really is when you're doing this is that you're not doing the same walk. So what I mean is, a lot of people go to a field, they walk around the outside of the field and then they go home. What I want you to do is actually look at your allocated time and do it in a time thing rather than a distance thing. And what you need to do is be mixing it up with high energy dogs, things like terriers that just want to run, anything like that, and German Shepherds, anything high energy. Really, you want to be using the whole line and you want to be constantly zigzagging. So the dog is just moving around you all the time and occasionally coming back to your keyword for a treat. Now, this is where I like to put it into two sections. So I have two words. So this way means I'm just changing direction. So the dog might have pelted off in one way. I say this way, give a tug of the lead, and they come pelting back, all happy. It's like a game. I like two words, and here means come back to my feet. I don't swap them up. If I've said here and the dog goes flying past, I got to reel them in. Okay, it's not interchangeable. This way is really useful for dogs that like a lot of range, and you just happen to be going down a different path or something, and then you can say this way and they come galloping towards you. The key with recall training is that you want the energy up, like really up. Everything else I always want quite calm, like, oh good boy, and you know, calm, subtle, sensitive. Recall's more like this, come on then, this way, yay, good boy, good boy, go on then, let's go. It's all like that. It's crazy, but it's fun. It's fun for you and it's great for the dog. But that's what you want. You want interactive. Now, other things you can use as a reward, by the way, just quickly, I've only used this on her very, very rarely have used this, is a tug toy. So something like that. If your dog is really into a ball or a tug toy or things like that, provided you can get it back, I use that as well. But you want, it's more difficult because food is instant and it's instantly gone. Something like a tug toy or fetch or whatever, it has to be a game and it has to last a couple of minutes for it to be worthwhile to the dog. But I have found that works with some dogs as well. But basically, it's a game. It's a great game between you and the dog. So the dog doesn't really have a need to go and investigate other things because you're always a team. What you don't want is that the dog's at the end of the line, you're just going in a straight line. The dog hasn't got any exercise because they're just walking along in front of you, but they're like 10 meters ahead of you. And both of you are completely disconnected. That's what you don't want. You want to be zigzagging across that field, getting that energy up, calling the dog back to you periodically, using high value rewards. That's the mentality that you want. It's fun, it's a game. If you want to suddenly do obedience in the middle of the park, absolutely fine, that's great. But really, I would just concentrate on zigzagging, and it burns the dog out. So this is what I mean. It's not distance, it's not how much you travel, it's how much your dog travels. And if I'm just standing still and the dog zooming around me like a horse on a lunge line, that's fine. You know, that's fine. Just get it out, get all the energy out, let them go crazy, let them have fun, let them be, you know, semi-free, basically. And then you want to start layering up, okay? So again, so when people do start training recall, a lot of people tell me, I've got brilliant recall, but then no recall when dogs are around. Well, I have actually done another podcast on this. I've done it in great depth, so you might want to check that out. If your dog is great, has great recall when there's like no dogs or no distractions, but bombs off when they see a dog. Your dog doesn't have a recall problem, it has a dog reactivity problem, and you need to sort that out. And that you don't sort out on a lunge, a long line, not a first anyway. You want to sort it out just on a short lead. So go and check that out, because that's your problem, not your recall. For anyone just starting recall or having problems with recall, always build it in layers. So think kids at school. The kids at school, they start in infant school and junior school, and they go up and up and up until university, etc. When your dog is bombarded with other dogs and they're playing and things like that, and then you try and call them, it's a bit like a university test and they're in infant school. You've got to start at the bottom. Bottom, real bottom, is obviously your house. That's why I say start at the house. The next one is doing empty fields, so completely empty scenery. So whatever your dog finds difficult, you want that right at the end. So most dogs find wildlife the hardest, so you want to leave things like woods right to the end of your program. So this doesn't mean that you avoid dogs forevermore. It means that if you want to go somewhere where it's going to be crazy, or you've arrived somewhere and you're like, oh god, this is crazy, he's not used to this, just don't use your keywords. Just use other things, or use his name, or use like clicky noises, whatever, so that you're not using your keywords. Your keywords, really, you only want to use when you're training, when you're winning. You don't want to do it when your dog is so excited that they can't listen, and then you're saying here, 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 because very quickly, every time you're saying that word, it's losing its potency. You want to say it when you know you're winning. So empty field is what you want. Empty field, or the beach can be quite a good one as well, provided it's empty, but you want empty. Your next layer from this is dogs on the horizon. So far away things. So this doesn't mean when they're coming backwards and forwards, even on lead, is far away, and you gradually get closer and closer or get busier and busier. That's what you need to do. But each stage takes months because you have to proof it. So if I start in an empty field and then after a week he's coming back, and then I layer up to a different field with things on the horizon, it's not been done properly. You've got to do many different empty fields, if that makes sense, because dogs don't generalize. So whatever they learn in one place, they don't always take it to the next place. This is what we say with all programs. You've got to repeat it with different people and different places. It's got to be proof. So you've got to make sure your recall is rock solid before you move on to the next stage. Like a child, if they didn't pass a certain exam, then they wouldn't be allowed into kind of certain universities, etc. And he's got to pass this exam as well. So he's got to make sure, you've got to make sure it's solid for a few months of, yeah, excellent recall every single time he's back, before I can move on to a harder level. And how do you know this, right? So how do you know? So it means that he comes back to your keyword every time without using the line. So you don't have to tug the line or anything like that, or remind him or coax him. He just comes straight back, and you've started to decrease the value of the treats. So that's quite important as well. So a lot of dogs will come flying back for cheese or chicken, but how many dogs are going to come flying back for kibble? That's what you want to start doing. So it's like, great, so we've done this field, we've done another field, we've done about four different fields, it's been a month and he's coming back consistently every time. Let's start dropping it into normal kibble, and let's not reward every time as well. So you're starting to drop it right back, okay? When he's done that, that's when it's like, right, let's see what he's like with dogs on the horizon. When you level up, go back to your gold stuff. So it's like, right, next level, I'm going to bring the chicken out again, just to prove it. And that's how you do. And then when they're okay with dogs on the horizon, again, you decrease everything. You decrease in the amount of times, you decrease the potency of the food. And again, you shouldn't be having to kind of tug your dog back or coax him back. He should just be coming back to you. Somewhere around in your recall program, there's going to be difficulty. And that really depends on your dog's breed and personality. So with my recall program with Flicker, for example, I mean, she always had good recall with dogs because she doesn't really like dogs, so she's not fussed by it. But wildlife was her thing. And really, I'd put wildlife right at the end of your program anyway, to be honest, because it is hard for them to ignore. We did get there in the end, but it took a lot longer. If you are stuck on something like that, or most people just get stuck on dogs, like close encounter dogs, to be honest, it just means that it just takes longer. That's all. And if you're really not getting anywhere, take a few steps back, increase the distance from the dogs or said, you know, wildlife, etc. It's just about working within the dog's limit. You shouldn't have a dog that's so excited that, you know, their brain's gone, essentially. We still need more of Bailey with us. But if your dog is ignoring these things happily and doesn't care, then you need to move on to the next lesson because they've kind of stopped learning as well. So you do need to push them, but it's that sweet spot of not too crazy, but not too, you know, peaceful, if you like. But that's what you're looking for, and always layering up. Let's be honest, recall does take about a year from start to finish. Doesn't matter on the kind of age of the dog or anything like that. It does take a year because you've got to go through all the different circumstances. So it could be that, you know, they're really good in a field and yeah, the occasional dog comes and they come back and blah, blah, blah. And then randomly, 8 months into your program, a cat appears in the hedge and they go chasing after it. That is why it takes so long, because all the different circumstances, the dog doesn't know that here means come back, even if there's a cat. And things like wildlife and cats are very hard to train for because you can't go and find them. So you can't say, right, 8 a.m. in the morning, this park is full of dogs, we're going to go there to train. You can't really do that with cats. They are just their own entity. And same with wildlife. You can't predict it. That's why it takes longer, because you're waiting for that tiny moment. If you think about it, you know, when you see a rabbit, you've probably only got one chance to call your dog back because then the rabbit's gone. So you can say that's 1 minute's worth of training. Whereas if you're training with dogs, you could have hours, you know, because people are coming in and out constantly. So it really is time spent as to why dogs tend to struggle with things like that, like wildlife, etc. But yeah, just do what you can with that. Like I said, it is hard. You're never going to find like a box of cats to just release into a field and start training. You're just going to have to wait until it happens. Nervous dogs as well, it's worth adding here, nervous dogs are slightly different because they tend to run home. Very nervous dogs, not just normal nervous, very nervous. So that means you have to go through all the things that will frighten them to make sure they come back to you and not back to their home. So this is one thing I did have with Flicker, because I noticed she was so scared of noises. So it could be something like a tractor starting in the next field, an aeroplane going overhead, a bird scarer a little while away. And I kept her on the long line for a very long time because these noises were so random. I didn't want to chance it. And now she's off the lead and a noise happens and she runs all the way home. It's quite rare though. So unless your dog is already presenting these behaviours, I wouldn't classify them as nervous. But please be aware of it, because it is a, you know, it is probably one of the worst things to have, because if your dog goes across a road, you know, they're running the risk of death. So you don't want that. But just whatever your dog's triggers are, you kind of got to wait for them to pop up in the natural environment and call your dog back so that they know, oh yes, I come back here. That's my default. My default isn't running home or running to the dog or chasing a deer and, you know, a mile away. That's my default, is always coming back. And that's what you've got to do with your dog. And it is a working process and you do have to be patient, but it does work out in the end. If you do it too quickly and you take off the line and your dog runs to whatever it's getting, two things happen, right? So first of all, your word suddenly, it means it's optional. So if you say here and your dog keeps running, it's learnt that here can also mean run away, because as you say things, as that's how one of the ways a dog learns is that as they do a motion and you say the word, it's like classical conditioning, they start realizing what the word means as they're doing the action. So that's why it's very difficult, you know, if you take things off too early. It's a bit like stabilizers on a bike. If you take them off too early, you're liable to fall. Also, another thing that's going to happen is the dog is going to be self-rewarded, particularly if it's another dog. So you saying here, here, you know, or Benny, whatever, Benny suddenly realizes, oh, that's optional. That's great. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to have this massive reward over here from this dog or this owner or catching this rabbit. And that reward is probably going to far outweigh even your chicken at that point, to be honest. And this is why people can have this problem. What the line does is it stops the dog self-rewarding. So rewards now only come from you. So again, it doesn't mean that your dog can't be socialized. I do agree with dogs being socialized, but do not recall your dog with your keyword if you haven't got to it in the program. So it could be like, we're just at empty field stage, blah, 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 and a dog comes running over. I can see it's friendly. My dog's friendly. What do I do? Do not say your keyword. That's what you do. The next thing you do is you let the line go slack and you just let them have a play. Don't drop the line, and don't let it become tangled. You have to reel it in and out. You have to work it. But just let them have a play. That's absolutely fine, you know, and I do encourage that, as long as it's not too rough or it's not dangerous or anything like that. But you can stop and start stuff. But it's really important not to test your recall word out too far. Always do it by the book. You know, it's like ABC. Don't suddenly you start mixing it up, because, again, you're going to have problems. You want to read the situation. Have we done recall when the dogs are playing? No, we've only done recall when the dogs are kind of passing. Okay, I'm not going to recall the dog from this game. I'm just going to let them have the game, or I'm going to recall them with a different word, or a squeaky toy, or rattling the bag, or just reel them in with a line, whatever. Just make a judgment call on it. But yeah, ultimately, long line's important, because if you don't have it and you try and work without it, the dog's just going to be rewarding itself left, right and centre, and your bit of chicken suddenly isn't going to hold up so much. Whereas actually, if they're running towards a dog and you call them, they have to first of all stop, and they're like, well, there's no reward there. Oh, but there is some chicken. I might as well come back. And that I might as well come back soon forms a habit of that dog wasn't that exciting anyway. And that's what you want. So yeah, like I said, it takes about a year. It is about working hard and working in all the different scenarios and situations. Ideally, your dog wouldn't be pulling on the lead as well, because again, it's about kind of partnership. And if your dog's pulling, they're often quite disconnected from you mentally because they're charging ahead. Recall training can help with pulling, though. The two are quite interchangeable. But that's what you want to start straight away on every single walk. Don't be tempted to switch off from a walk. Make sure you're doing it properly, like you would teach a child to read or something like that. Don't make it too hard. Do make it enjoyable. It is great fun. I do quite like recall training, actually, because it's the one time where you can get the dog's energy up and everyone has a great time. And ultimately, yeah, this is going to be your dog's freedom, and it is just such a joy to see the dogs running. I did it with Sky, who sadly passed now, and with Flick. And there is not much greater joy, I can tell you, from watching the dogs run in between the trees and jumping over things and playing in the long grass. I love it so much. So it is my, yeah, it's probably not the most important thing to train. Like, if your dog's aggressive or anxious, that's definitely priority. But for me, it's the one thing I always start with, and I always determined I want this dog off lead. That's what I do. I want this dog off lead. I'm very patient. I don't mind if it takes a year or even two. But I want this dog off lead so they can have fun. Then I can have fun watching them mess about and play. So good luck. Keep training. Don't give up. You got this. If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram. So just search Fawn Dog for those. And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.